This year, our intention for study group is to look at the book, How to Change Your Life. That looks backwards to me. Does it look backwards to you? It looks okay to you. There's a couple of versions. This is the newer one. My one that's all marked up is the older one, but this is the book that we're working with. And Judy Oliver is our mastermind behind our scheduling, and she did something brilliant. She looked at the book, and the part of it at the beginning is basic science of mind principles. So we've been doing those, but the second part of the book is the what we believe statement from Ernest Holmes. And so the two little chapters total of about 5 pages that I'm talking from today is the two of the statements from what we believe. So the first one is, we believe in the incarnation of the spirit in everyone, and that all people are incarnations of the one spirit. We believe in the eternality, the immortality, and the continuity of the individual, forever and ever expanding. So that's my topic that I was assigned to speak about today. And I thought, as I've been watching this experience of people in the pandemic, I've realized that it's causing us more and more to think of oneness from a global perspective. We are touching each other all over the world far more powerfully than we imagined before. And science of mind as a philosophy is about thinking about oneness from a universal perspective. Not only including the broader perspective of the global oneness, but seeing it as everything and everything is one. Everyone and everything is one. So, talking about eternality and immortality in a time where the news is talking endlessly about the tragedy of people dying, it's struck me deeply that I've seen people on Facebook talking about empathy, saying, why aren't we crying? And I am not crying, but I am not crying because I see life as eternal already. And years and years and years ago, I did a meditation one day, and I heard the words, knowing the end of the movie changes the quality of the experience. And followed up the line, life is eternal. So the end of every movie is eternal life. There is a happy ending to everyone's movie, regardless of the nature of the physical life they have. They reemerge into the non-physical in a beautiful and powerful way. So I try not to think about the grieving aspect of life, but rather the infinite aspect of life, and allow my heart to expand in unconditional love. I find that empathy and resonating with other people's pain makes me depressed and shuts me down. I was depressed for a very long time. But the science of mind philosophy helped me move beyond that and to recognize that there is a bigger picture that we can be looking at, where we include the end of the movie, the eternal life. And I saw a really powerful quote on Facebook yesterday that said, fear does not stop death, it stops life. Life isn't eternal someday, it's eternal now. Worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. And so we aren't here to worry and fear. We are here to open our hearts to love under all conditions. Unconditional love is our challenge. And I want to walk you through some parts of my books that helped me learn to be more unconditional in my capacity to love. And many of you knew Kate Hannigan. Kate was my best friend for 17 years. We used to see each other 3 or 4 or 5 times a week for decades, it seemed. And in 2009, Kate was in the hospital preparing to make her transition. And I was talking to the Beloved. My books are called Chatting with the Beloved. And I had conversations with omnipresent love that I call Beloved. And here's one from a couple of days before Kate made her transition. I had been told that they didn't expect her to make it through the night. And in the morning, I said to Beloved, I just talked to Ed. Kate's comfortable and eating eggs for breakfast. It's a little disoriented to have been trying to deal with her impending transition all night long and now be hearing about her life this morning. And Beloved said, it's all life. You need to get a broader perspective of this. Death is a stage of life. Eternal life includes birth and death and a constant, unwavering consciousness, every moment in between. From your physical perspective, you sleep and wake, live and die. From our perspective, you live and live and live and live and live. Kate is living. Treat her as living now and later. You can talk to her as you talk to us. So that was powerful. And a couple of days later, she still was on the planet. And I said to Beloved, the idea of losing Kate so suddenly is shocking. I don't want to say goodbye to my friend. And we suggest you loose Kate, L-O-O-S-E. They said you can never lose her. The love you share is forever. In the same way you talk to us and to your mom, you can talk to Kate. Her eternal being is bright and expanded from the life known as Kate. She has been such a powerful source of love and inspiration for so many. I said, what would it be like to loose her? B said, remember Ernest Holmes saying, loose the boundaries of your sense of self and let in more spiritual territory. We want you to loose the boundaries of your sense of Kate and let in your awareness of the infinite and eternal nature of her being now. Many of you know my story, but my husband Cliff made his transition at age 39, and it was a traumatic experience for me. And after I began to heal from that experience, I took on this perspective that Beloved's talking about here. They said, with Cliff, you used to say that you were willing to learn big enough to transcend even physical life. That's true unconditional love. Your beloved doesn't even have to have a physical body anymore. That experience with Cliff helped set you up for our relationship too. For we are also the beloved, unconditionally loved and loving without a physical body. So is Kate. You are all a dynamic part of the infinite consciousness of love. You could see yourself as a mere drop in the bucket, and most of you do. But the true nature of your being is more like an infinite wave in the ocean of love rather than a drop in the bucket. Your physical form is a beautiful bucket that you pick up and lay down with ease from your non-physical perspective. As we said, it's just life, 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 and life, and life, and life, and life, and life, and life. Infinitely, intimately, exquisitely expressing love. So then Kate made her transition, and about a week later, I talked to Beloved, and they said, "We love Kate. There's been quite a party all week with her here. She's even funnier now." They said, "We're not so keen on the word immortality, though. It's like a double negative, not mortal. Like mortal means due to die soon, and immortal not due to die soon, as if mortal is the standard for something. We like eternality to be the standard. You are eternal beings always, who are sometimes also having temporal experiences. It's not even either or, it's both and while you are here. You are always non-physical and sometimes also physical. You are always non-local and sometimes also local. You are always infinite as well as finite." So that's what the Beloved had to say about immortal and eternal. And I have warmed, my heart is always warmed by connecting with the love that B is to me. And I love sharing it. So I appreciate your listening to those quotes from my book. But I've been listening 3 days a week to Abraham Hicks for the last few weeks. Since the pandemic started, Abraham's been doing Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday workshops, and they have talked a lot about the experience of physical death and infinite life. So I would like to share with you some of the things that Abraham has said. They told a wonderful story about Jerry and Esther Hicks visiting with friends in Portland and having barbecues where there was a great big furry black dog running around seeking attention and giving lots of love. They love that dog. They love the friends who had barbecues. And this one year, as the salmon was being served, Esther felt the dog rush past her, but she looked and didn't see it. And she said, "Well, where is our dog?" And they said, "The dog died." And she said, "Not really. He's all over the place." And that was Esther's first experience with a Beloved fur baby's continuity. Everything is physically present right now, whether you can see it in the physical or not. There is no death. And that's such a wonderful reminder that all is always there. And many of you have heard the story of how I connected with my mother. And every day during the last year of her life, I would call her and say, "Mom, who's there with you?" Because she was seeing dead folks in the corner all the time. And I loved acknowledging that her experience was real, because other people told her she was crazy, and I knew she was expanded. And so we talked about it every day. My dad's been here, or my mom, or my father. She was always seeing some Beloved person in the corner. And one time when I went to a Science of Mind conference away a week when she was sick, it was the first time when she got sick that I didn't go to see her, but I had this ticket and I had to go to Chicago. So I called her from a hotel room in Chicago and talked to her in the hospital in Massachusetts. And I said, "Mom, who's there with you?" And she said, "You know, it's the strangest thing, But when you come to visit me, you're here maybe 4 or 6 hours in the hospital during the day, but then you have to commute an hour and a half each way to go take care of the animals. And since you haven't been here, you've been in the corner with the dead folks 24 hours a day. And that was such a remarkable experience because she experienced the transcendent nature of me while I was still alive. And she was establishing this connection that we would be able to have after she was on that side as well. And when I was at her funeral, her casket was immediately adjacent to me in the church. And it was such a lovely habit that I had. I said, "Mom, who's there with you?" And I heard the most joyful word I have ever heard in my whole life. She said, "Everybody." Everybody. There was no longer a distinction for her between those who were alive and those who were dead. Everybody, all the love was right there with her. And I love knowing that. Love transcends the physical. The infinite is unbelievably beautiful. And our experience of that can be present while we are still physical. We don't have to grieve. And when we do grieve, we can't connect because our beloved ones are joyful. And if we're grieving, we are looking for them where they aren't. We have to look for them where they are, in the vibration of love, in the vibration of joy. And when we love them, we can feel them. We can know them here present, even though they're not physically present. They are present with us every day, every moment. When we think of them, they're here. And one time after Jerry made his transition, Abraham told the story of Esther saying, "I'm thinking of you." And Jerry saying back to her, How do you not know that's me thinking of you that brings the thought of me to your mind?" We are connected. And to allow ourselves to feel that connection in physical life is such a gift. It is infinite and it is intimate and it is beautiful. Now, here's something that may seem a little controversial, but this is from Abraham's workshop this week as well. A person wrote in a question and said, "My mother died from the coronavirus 2 weeks ago. She had been deteriorating. Can it be that this was her escape from this world?" And Abraham gave such a powerful answer. They said, "We want to begin by saying that no death is an accident. There is a cooperation between physical and non-physical. In fact, we have in the past said something that upsets a lot of people. They don't want to hear it, even though we mean it when we say it. Every death is actually suicide because you create your own reality. And whether it is very deliberate or whether you are satisfying intention about it in some less dramatic way, yes, in many cases, the virus is a very good avenue for people who've been teetering on the edge, who haven't really been enjoying life, who have been deteriorating for some time. Not just physical deterioration, that's not what we want to focus on here. It's the 'I'm not having a good time here anymore' thing that's going on with so many. In other words, the conversation that the non-physical you and the physical you has at these what you call for the most part unconscious levels because you are not hearing them. You're not hearing the words in the way that you're hearing us. But we'll translate some of it for you here and now. The conversation that in the physical you and the non-physical you goes something like this. Inner being, I'm not finding very much to be excited about in this life, and I'm finding myself more often than not focused in the direction of what is unwanted. And your inner being says to you, well, there's so much more out there that is there for you if you want to reach for it. But there is no obligation in where it is that you reach for your well-being. You can return to non-physical, where pure positive energy is abounding. You can transition into all that you are anytime you want to. Abraham went on, how often do you hear about near-death experiences where people begin their transition into non-physical and they like how it feels, and then they're called back, sometimes by a strong wanting. They have children they still want to interact with or things they still have to do that don't feel like they got done. So they come back and then they describe to you, I didn't really want to go. I liked it where I was, but something called me back. Aren't you aware that this conversation takes place? And don't you really want those who are ready to reemerge to reemerge? We know this is a difficult topic, and we're not wanting you to misunderstand what we're saying. But what we are saying is nothing is ever going wrong when someone is making their transition into non-physical. We know it's difficult for those of you who miss them, but you aren't looking for them where they are. You're looking for them where they aren't, and we get that. So Abraham's reminding us that we need to look for people where they are, and they are alive. They are infinite. They are connected. They are beautiful. They are powerful. They are free. And if we relax and remember that they are here, that we are here as our local selves. That's a beautiful thing. It's a good thing to be alive. But as we are here being alive, we're also much bigger than that. It's not a question of being alive and then being non-physical. We are always non-physical. We are also sometimes physical. And we celebrate being physical. It's so good to be here. I went for a walk the other day, and as I was walking, I came by a really pretty wisteria vine. And it was low to the ground. It wasn't up on a trellis. It was low, and I leaned over to take a picture of the beautiful wisteria blossoms. And I got the scent of wisteria so powerfully. And I had never realized how exquisite wisteria smells. It's just like beyond the beyond. I got high sniffing wisteria. It was amazing. And when we have those kinds of over-the-top experiences, Abraham says, in that moment, I was smelling through the nose of Source. When we see the beauty of life in an expansive way, we are seeing through the eyes of God. And I am always reminded of the beautiful story of the church in Italy that got bombed, and the church was destroyed by the Allied soldiers, and they weren't supposed to bomb churches, so that was a mistake. And the soldiers who were there after the war really regretted the fact that this beautiful church was destroyed, and they spent their days off rebuilding the church. and helping the community rebuild the church. And they put together everything, including the beautiful statue of the Christos, the beautiful statue of Jesus, huge statue of Jesus that was in front of the church outside. And the only part that wasn't found was the hands. And they were scurrying around trying to find a sculptor who could make new hands for the Christos statue. And some wise person said, no, don't replace the hands. They put a sign on the statue that says, the only hands God has are yours. We are the love. Here on the planet, we have the opportunity to be the hands, the eyes, the heart of Spirit. We have the chance to be the light, to share the light, to expand our awareness of who we are. And in doing so, expand our awareness of who everyone else is. And I started briefly touching the idea of the difference between compassion and empathy. And I want to go back to that and explain it a little more. Because what I learned about compassion, at first, being a practitioner, I heard a lot of sad stories and I had to distance myself from them because I had to be detached enough that I was able to look for a higher truth about this experience, but I did not resonate. And empathy resonates, and there is something beautiful about resonating with another person. And I finally learned that everyone has two vibrations. They have the vibration of what they're focused on in the moment, and they have the vibration of love, the vibration of God, the vibration of Source. And we have a choice in any moment when we connect with someone to vibrate with their focus of attention in the moment, which might be depressed or grieving or angry, or we have the opportunity to vibrate with the divine within them. And that is what I call compassion. It's resonating with the infinite, eternal, beautiful, healthy, whole, free, abundant part of who they are. And so my intention in my life is to approach people with compassion, to see the truth of who they are, to see the love in them, to see the well-being in them, and to know that all is well. I give thanks for this insight because it's helped me resonate in so many ways with so many people that in the past I would have had to distance myself from, because otherwise I would have been brought down and no good to anybody else. Abraham always tells the story of what it's like to be walking along a ledge with two friends, and one of them is powerful and strong and connected and having a great day, and the other one is weak and imbalanced and unsteady. If you slip off the ledge, who do you want to help grab your hand? Do you want the one that is empowered, or do you want the one that is going to let go because they can't hold you up? We need to be strong to help others. We need to uplift ourselves in order to be the presence of the light, to be the hands of God in the world. And so I am just so grateful to each of you for being here today, for giving me the opportunity to share my love, to share my vision, to experience this subject so powerfully, because that's what study group does for me. It gives me a chance to immerse myself in something powerful and then provides me with an audience to share it with. What a gift that is. I am grateful for each of you. And I give thanks for this amazing day, for this amazing time, for this opportunity for each of us to expand what we know and how we live. It is good. And so it is.